welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the third solo album from Swedish singer-songwriter Henrik Appel called Shadows, and it starts with the title track.
Wake me up before you go, before the night has cast its last shadow. I didn't mean
Appel moved to Stockholm when he was about 20 and became a staple of the garage rock scene there. He was the frontman of a band called Lion's Den and then went out on his own to do a solo project and then kind of continued with that solo music. And all of his albums have been very different, but this one I think is the best one so far.
Yeah, I love that it's so contemplative and slow and definitely not what I would expect from a release on a record label called Punk Slime.
Well, I did have a question about that because it's PNKSLM, which I would have translated as Pink Slime.
I did, but if you go to their website, they say they are Punk Slime.
Okay.
And it's a, yeah, I think it's a Swedish record label founded by British expatriates.
Interesting.
And so they put out a bunch of interesting music, but it, you know, listening to this track, my first thought is this really punk? And then I step back and like, no, punk is really an expansive concept of music that is raw. And this is raw. This is slow and contemplative, but also there's a feeling of emotionality that's really at the surface here. And it's kind of interesting. These lyrics are kind of just vague about just, oh, feeling unsettled and unhappy and just kind of, there's not a lot of lyrics. It's the same lyrics, verse, chorus, and then does it again. It's just exactly word for word, the same lyrics, but that's fine. When you have such a kind of weird feeling with this kind of deranged clarinet and these bass drums kicking in this second round through, giving it just this kind of heartbeat that is steady. Yeah, it's a really cool first track where he's not hitting you over the head. He's just welcoming you into a world of uncertainty, but, you know, real emotion.
Yeah, apparently he was very much a perfectionist and his first album took 5 years to make. And this one, he intentionally went for a more organic, vibes-oriented record, for lack of a better phrase, where instead of the focusing on the technicality of the musical performances, focusing on the feeling that it gave to the listener. So the next song we're going to play is called Walking Down the Road.
Walking down the road. Yeah.
is more of a classically what I would call punk rock in terms of the high energy. And I love the feeling of chaos with all these different instruments, the drums seeming to run away, where on the first track they were a steady heartbeat. Here it's completely manic. The sax coming in and feels like it's about to just fly off into a completely different direction. I love how, you know, this harkens back to classics, and, you know, you look at their write-up and they definitely call it, oh, there's some, we're inspired to do some Bob Dylan and Velvet Underground. And like,
it definitely reminds me of Rock and Roll by Velvet Underground.
Yeah, absolutely. Diving back, but it's, you know, not just a pastiche. It is just taking that energy and bringing it into the 21st century. Obviously, lyrics about, why are you in my phone? Not really a very 60s or 70s lyric.
I always really like crazy horns on any song, and that is what really drew me into this album at first. And then at the end there, we had a conversation as we were listening to it as to whether that bit is a really skronked out distorted guitar or if it is vocals. And it reminded me of, if you go to Mexico City and see the pyramids at Teotihuacan, there are these little like jaguar whistles they sell you. So, and apparently this is like something from the Aztecs or the Mayans, yeah. Where you blow into it and it makes a
very terrifying song. Yeah, so, I took it as a vocal. And I think because this to me really highlights Henrik Appel has such an interesting voice. It's mm-hmm. I think most of the tracks he feels a little out of control, and on first pass you can just like, he just has kind of this like nasally weird voice. But I think like a lot of great artists, you know, going back to someone like a Bob Dylan, or I think more modern artists that I can think, touch points that I could think of like Ezra Furman or even Nils Edenlof from the Roller Alternative Advantage, where they're like, they have a nasal voice, but it actually becomes like this resonating cavity. Mm-hmm. And so their voice ends up at first listen, I'm like, that's kind of weird and nasal. No, it's actually super powerful because of what they're doing and like resonating their entire head. Mm-hmm. I think it's really crazy. And then of course, that's why when I hear the screech, I'm like, this guy's voice can do a lot. I could believe that that's him. So the next track we'll play, it slows back down to a little more contemplative track. It's called Nothing to Lose.
I can feel it in the wind. It's in our sails this time. And it won't be as before. I promise.
The introduction of new instruments here, and it was very difficult to find credits for this record. The only source I could find is on their Bandcamp page, and this is Martin Coney, who's credited with all of the woodwind instruments, including transverse flute. And I had to look up what transverse flute was, and it seems like it's just a regular flute. Maybe they have different types of flutes in Sweden. But it gives it such a pretty contemplative feel. And that flute where we played was the third verse. And the flute kind of kicks in and then ramps up in that final third verse. And together with the piano, it just gives such a like calming, pretty feel.
Yeah. So again, shout out to Martin Coney, which I think is a nickname for Aaron Krona.
Oh.
Which is lengthier Swedish last name, but I don't have time for that. Coney, who is the co-owner runner of a studio, Cobra, in Stockholm, which sounds a little like Tiny Telephone in the Bay Area, where they're really focused on vintage synths and old analog recording equipment. And the production on this record, I think, is really excellent. It's so warm, and even when it's kind of chaotic, it doesn't completely blast out, but it's also not super clean. It just feels intimate, like you're in the room with them hearing this kind of very improvisational style. And I think that's the one hallmark of this record relative to the earlier Henrik Appel records, is he said, no, I really wanted to embrace collaborative songwriting. So I have this producer, and yeah, I'm going to have his woodwinds all over it, taking a really upfront kind of role, as well as letting, so the drummer and pianist credited is Carl Johan Groth, fantastic. And the piano often, like, I love these sorts of piano that feels like a tiny bit off. Like it feels like it's not 100% in tune and it has that much more like, oh, I found a piano in the corner of this bar and started playing instead of like, oh, everything's perfect. And
it feels almost like a honky tonk piano.
Yeah, very much so. And the bassist Richard Folke has this great, just understated. And I think he's kind of the least flashy, but there is still just a beating heart to these songs. Even the slow ones, the fast ones all have a real energy and propulsiveness. They all feel very alive. And I think that's in part because of his work.
We're recording this on the winter solstice and we were in Scandinavia this summer and both Stockholm and Helsinki were fantastic, but I felt like I wanted to move to Helsinki and you had to keep reminding me that we were there at the summer solstice and in winter it is only light for like 6 hours a day. Yeah. And this song kind of gave me the feel of being in Stockholm in the winter and it's just very dark and you're cozy and you have your little piano and flute and you're playing this song.
Yeah, there's an extreme coziness here. And of course, we're in Stockholm. You know, all these songs are in English. And in fact, Henrik Appel, I think, has said that he's pretty much only performed in English, but decided, you know, it's time for me maybe to write some songs in Swedish. And so there's some of that on this record. And the next track is called Det som en gång var, which means that was once was. And all of our Swedish speakers can yell at me for my terrible pronunciation. Som en gång har jag förlorat mig. Jag har inget kvar att ge. Jag har inget kvar att ge. Jag har inget kvar. Och jag brukade färdas med for sure interesting to play and listen to a song where I don't know the language. And it's kind of interesting. He's talked about how, oh, I kind of sing with this, you know, English speaking accent. So even when he's singing these Swedish songs, I think it was the first couple of listens where I was just like not really tuned into the lyrics. And then it registered, oh, that's not English. Mm-hmm. And of course, since I don't know Swedish, except for what, a few words of
you
like,
did Duolingo.
Yeah, phrasebook Swedish. So I think literally the only lyric I was able to pick up in the song was in the pre-chorus. He says, I don't care.
Ah.
I was like, okay. And I think that clues in though, the song that's about remembering what once was and feeling very wistful and being like, yeah, but I'm just going to keep living. And yeah, I'm guessing a lot about what the lyrics are, but the mood is so expressive and expansive. Mm. It just, there's this, again, the tremendous warmth, the sax, and then some kind of maybe xylophone or something that's this chiming, very ethereal. Everything about this is so pretty and, you know, I think it's great that he's singing in his native language. And
one of the few interviews that I had found with him was he talks about how when he's singing in English, it's kind of like putting on a performance. And when he's singing in Swedish, it's more vulnerable and more feels more his true self. So there are two tracks on here in Swedish. We're only going to play one.
Yeah. And so he said it was a chance to, you know, he's feeling like I'm getting a little older. I don't bounce back as fast as I used to and kind of coming to terms with his own aging and mortality and that having a foreign language in the way was not the right way to go. So there's really prettiness here. Additionally, his collaborativeness also extends to lyrics where he's worked with his partner who's named Emma Lind. I can't find anything about her, not least because that name is a famous professional football player.
Maybe she is a professional football player.
Maybe. Somehow I doubt it. But in any case, just the emotionality here is really off the charts. And even if I don't understand the words, the sentiment comes through in a big way.
So the next song we'll play is called I See. Earlier work described as garage rock with Martin Savage, his original band. And this is the song to me that feels the most garage rocky. It's also, I think, the most upbeat one on the record. And I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's in some ways the most straightforward. I love, though, that these steps to make it feel just a little bit wrong. I feel like the guitars are a tiny bit out of tune, so it has a little bit more of a intentionally depolished feeling. And I like the vocals here, where I talked earlier about where he uses this kind of nasal voice and turns it into this crazy resonating cavity. Here, I think he tones that down, but it still has this rawness that is, you know, almost reminiscent of like an early Mick Jagger with that just kind of bratty strut. Even, you know, I don't know what his stage presence is like, but I hear that stage presence here of like, I'm just kind of wagging my finger at the audience, like, no, and even like some of those lyrics, like, you say, no, and there's just this kind of back and forth that's very playful, and that playfulness is then matched by the sax, which I feel like is especially jaunty on this one.
Yeah, the sax is so fun. It's a tenor sax, apparently, according to the credits, which I don't know if I could tell the difference between a tenor sax and a different kind of sax, but it has so much fun energy. And you know, I grew up in the era of Kenny G and the smooth sax.
Well, I think he plays maybe soprano sax that looks basically just like a metal clarinet.
Yeah, but I mean, it's more smooth and jazzy. And this whole record has these jazz elements, but they're more rock and roll. And I love the way that it combines with the guitar in this song.
Well, yeah, I think that there's sort of different kind of improvisational traditions, because there's the kind of psych rock, garage rock, just we're just going to start jamming, and then there's the jazz improvisation, and I don't normally think of those as coexisting, but I feel like this band kind of takes those two strains and combines them in a way that's really fun.
Yeah, and most of the woodwind instruments on here feel very improvisational, even though they probably are not.
Well, it's the producer, and one presumably is he's really intentional about how it's going to sound.
Yeah.
So from this kind of up-tempo, playful song, we go back into a, you know, slightly more calm or contemplative for the rest of the record, I would say, in fact, called. And this next track is called The Truth.
Outside they are hanging on, trusting you to do the same. But just listen for a little while.
This album is very thoughtful. A lot of these songs are not any longer than they need to be. I think it's 9 tracks, just around half an hour of music. And a couple of the songs are super long, but then this song comes in, 2.5 minutes? And it's just really simple. And this nice, you know, the chorus is just this refrain of stay here with me. And it creates a mood so quickly and efficiently.
Yeah, and whereas a lot of the other songs have the guitar and the sax sort of at odds with each other and going back and forth, this one has those instruments kind of coinciding and playing the same melody. And it's a nice contrast from the dynamism of the other songs.
Yeah, there's kind of a chaos on most of the record. And here I think there's a little more of like a sweetness. Even his voice is a little prettier, not like pretty, but just a little smoother. And everything is just flowing a little more nicely. And I think, yeah, for this, these emotions that it's just like reaching out. And if, again, everything is so earnest on this record in a way that should bug me, but I really like.
So the next song we're going to play is a cover from by a band called Digital Leather, and it's called Box of Metal Emotions.
Thought I had nothing else to give. Then you came along and made me see. I used to refuse my feelings. What's the use when you're melting away? Don't refuse your feelings. Don't refuse your feelings. Don't refuse your feelings. Don't refuse your feelings.
The dearth of information I could find about this album was a little bit frustrating, so I don't know why he picked this song in particular to cover. If you listen to the original version, it's very synthetic, and it's an interesting experiment to take that very synthy song and turn it into such a warm, organic feeling. Digital Leather is the musical project led by multi-instrumentalist Sean Forey that is not Swedish. And so maybe this song just had a particular resonance for him.
Well, I actually, you know, I was not familiar either. And then you've tracked down the original, played it. And yeah, it's very kind of, I feel like it's like this album is kind of this hybrid of kind of punk and garage rock, but with all these jazz elements. And there it's, you know, that project seems like it was part of the Goner Records extended universe, which is typically, I know, I think of as being very garage rock, but then also that Pie Pie record we talked about just pretty recently came out of them and was similarly like kind of garagey and kind of just from another planet. And so that was like garage rock with all these crazy new wavy synth elements. And so I think it's sort of like, oh, we're going to take this kind of the essence of this, this energy of punk rock, but then adding all these elements you don't expect. And then here doing kind of the same thing. And emotionally, like, this is such an earnest song. Mm-hmm. And so I almost feel like in the original, because of the way it's produced and the instrumentals, I think disguise that and kind of hide the sentimentality of just don't refuse your feelings. What a crazy earnest message to put out into the world and just say over and over again, as we come into the home stretch of this record, like, come on, just like connect, be real, be alive. Yeah, this is such a, you know, I definitely don't understand every word that happens, especially the ones in Swedish, but throughout it's one that seems to just reach out and grab us and say, no, live and connect and be in the world. Like, yeah. It's a really affirming record.
Yeah. I mean, the way that I select the records that we're going to talk about is often just on vibes. And this album stood out to me because it did just have that warm, connective feeling that, you know, it seemed like it was trying to be, as you said, very human. And I think if that is the goal he was trying to accomplish with this, it really comes across well. It's just very focused on human emotion and experience, and it really conveys that well in the songwriting and the instrumentation.
Yeah, and because it has such a variety of different song styles and each one feels so loose, it's one, sometimes we pick a record and I start re-listening and I'm like, oh, God, I can't believe I signed up to listen to this enough times to have stuff to say. And this one I felt like was very, I appreciated each time through. It's like, I'm hearing different things because there's so much different stuff to grab onto, but it doesn't feel like a mess. It doesn't feel chaotic.
It's not fussy either.
Yeah, exactly. It feels full but stripped down. It's loud but intimate. Like, it's just, again, kudos to the production team at the Studio Cobra for, you know, making it just sound so, yeah, accessible and awesome. No, I'm really impressed. And unfortunately, you know, again, we can't find information. He's off in Sweden. Who knows if he will ever make it to the US anytime soon. But is a very interesting band, although I think they would have a lot of trouble, I guess, since they have the same person credited for piano and drums. So I don't know how they do a touring band, but I'd like to see him try. And unfortunately, I don't know of any US tour in the offing.
So we're going to go out with the last track, which is called Rooftops. And we've been discussing Henrik Appel's third solo record called Shadows. And you've been listening to For the Record. Thanks so much for listening.
I fell out of bed last night. I jumped off the rooftop. I pulled my head so I could. Take me to the places I never dared. I never dared to go to. But always dreamt about.
Proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.